Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it. Toppy, toppy.
It's Blackcap.
Hashtag fuck headers.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Come on.
Hello. Hello, you wonderful gooners. How the devil are we all?
We won. I can't believe it. What's going on? It's all a bit nuts, it is.
Welcome to the Nottingham Forest Carabao Cup show. How are we? Let's get into it straight away, because I can't find the chat box anywhere. I don't know what the hell is going on. Dan, are we actually live? Because it's not showing up on YouTube.
Yes, we are.
Oh, there, I can see it now. Let's go to the chat box first then, is it? Hello, lovely chat box. How are we all? First one in the box is Daz316. Then there was And235100. Sam Ruth piles in. Joshua Page. J Rob. Drum ND. S Cam's there again. Don One's there. MJL. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is there. Ardeal Psych is there. Zoidberg's there. Oh, God, look, he was Stephen Selby, the wonderful Stephen Selby, the magnificent Alonso Spencer. Oh, look at you all. You're wallowing in a victory. How about that? John Bernstein says, hello, everyone. Oh, hey, guys, five goals on a Tuesday night. It's not a bad life, is it? Right, let's get straight into it. Let's get our guests. First of all, he has to be here. He's been touched. He's been hugged. He's been manhandled around the Emirates on Sunday. It's Danny, the GFP. Say hello, Dan.
Hello, John.
You twat.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Dan, how far is Colchester from you?
That's where Sian's mum's boyfriend lives, and it's about an hour and a half. But if she's in a hurry, an hour and 45. No, that's the wrong way, isn't it? An hour and 25. We're going to go there and give Cohen Bramall a high five.
Have you heard they're good at penalties?
Are they?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, good.
They are.
Oh, Harry wasn't playing, was he? He's the only one of there who gets the penalties and scores them.
Dribbler's not playing. Hey, tell you who is playing is J-Rob. He smashes into the donation and he says, oh, that was lovely. Magic, innit?
Cheers, J-Rob.
My next guest, she's back. It's Sophie Nicolaou. So hello, Sophie.
Hello, lads. I just took my shades off for a split second because someone was questioning why I was wearing them again, like I had another hungover kind of night. But the truth is that I once read an article from the creative director of Vogue who said everyone looks better with shades on, so I just wear shades all the time.
Nice. I like it. Sophie, have you ever been to Crawley?
I do love Crawley this time of year. I love Colchester this time of year. I love it all this time of year. In fact, if Thomas Cook was still in business, I'd book a trip.
I used to call it Creepy Crawley, but no longer. It's now Magnificent Crawley.
It is a good evening, isn't it? It's a good evening.
It is indeed. A friend of a mate of mine has got season tickets at Crawley, and we once had John Gregory on, who was manager of Crawley Town at the time.
Wow.
He was very good.
He was actually, he's a top man, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right.
Here's the thing before you start. It's Taco Tuesday here in the United States. It's a great day to go get great food, good cocktails at a reasonable price. So not only is it Taco Tuesday, but it's also Tottenham Collapse Day once again in a competition where they could have won a trophy. So all the way around, it is an epic evening.
It's not bad, is it? And to be fair, you know, Boris Johnson's found out to be a bit of a wrong one again. You know, it's just one of those days, isn't it? It can't go wrong on Taco Tuesday. Let's get straight into the game, guys. Dan, to you first. Lineups, Ozil captaining the team. Tierney making his debut. You had Holding back. You had, total 11 changes, a total changeover. What did you make of it all?
Glad to see that Martinez has proved that he is going to be our cup goalkeeper, which is really good because he's a magnificent goalkeeper. I think he has a better presence in goal than Leno does, and I love his distribution. As soon as he gets the ball, he's looking to make a break with the ball, which is rather than getting it, waiting for it, passing it to one of our central defenders to pass around. I don't like that. Chambers was absolutely magnificent. Right back, left back, covered in centre back, played central midfield. He played left wing. He played right wing. That's why 3 assists, a 9.3 Opta rating. My man of the match by a country mile. I love seeing Nelson and Willock and Rowe all playing because we've been watching them for years come through the youths. Ozil had a face like a smacked ass when he came off, but at the start of the game, he looked okay. He having a little giggle. I think you've seen quite a few times through the game that he isn't match sharpness isn't there, whereas normally he'd get the ball and pass it off immediately. He was taking an extra touch. And Martinelli, the man who's confusing everybody. Is he a winger? Is he a striker? Is he a 10? I think he's all of them, all of the above. 2 goals, magnificent, wonderful starting lineup. The only thing I probably would have liked to have seen would have been Balogun get a little bit of time up front rather than Martinelli. But then if he would have done, Martinelli wouldn't have scored that other goal. So, we have so many wonderful... In fact, it would have been nice if Burton would have got a game just to make you smile.
Nothing makes me smile, Dan. Nothing.
That Ram Ramsey doll makes you smile.
Do you know what? Do you know what really made me smile? All the people kissing and moaning about it. I love it.
Happy day. Bless. And if only they knew that last time we used it, his head got come off and got stuck and he had to go to A&E. He was biting it, people. Biting it.
It's the way of the world. Onto the game. So, we started off quite well. Martinelli taken out on the edge of the box. I thought the first sort of 5-10 minutes, I thought he was still letting a few things go on us. But actually, he just wanted to leave the game flow. And it did, didn't it? You know, we showed some really good attacking football. Nelson shoots wide from the free kick after Martinelli's taken out. You then get a Martinelli shot blocked. And Chambers was looking sharp at the beginning of the game, wasn't he?
I think that, was it last season or the season before we lost to Forest in this competition?
Did we? 4-2.
Away from home. Yeah.
Right. So, and we played some, first team starters in that match. And here's what I love about this game. I have very little to complain about. It was a game where Arsenal Football Club should dominate, should win, should put on a performance like that. It was a mix of vintage Arsenal with this new wave, young youth that really is knocking on the door and threatening some first team players who we're seeing underperforming in the Premier League. So, you know, for me, as the game started the first 20 minutes, I thought we completely dominated. We had, I think, 14 shots in the first half. And to be fair to Ozil, Danny, in the first half, he had 0 incompleted passes. It was only when the second half started that his passes started to kind of get a little out of his way. And I think that comes back to what you were saying with match fitness and him potentially kind of getting a little bit tired.
Same with Tierney, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Tierney, what I loved about it too was the crowd got behind him, and we haven't seen that a lot in games. He got the ball, the crowd gave him the confidence, he ran with it, he showed this element of surprise, he took on players, he seemed to know exactly what he wanted to do with the ball whenever he had possession, and I absolutely loved that about him. Seeing Rob holding back was a thing of beauty. I think that Chambers is really starting to show the form that he showed for Fulham. And even though he was the player of the season in a relegated team, he seems to have found his groove, and that experience with Fulham has elevated him to a new level. And I think he has something to prove. And the way he played tonight, that assist was absolutely Barcelona Brazilian-esque, call it what you want, like the technique, the control, the way that he was able to make that pass to Martinelli on a dime on his head was a thing of beauty. So for me, the first half was pure perfection. And I don't think we've had that in a long time.
No, we showed some real control, didn't we? Dan, you saw Forest have a 5-minute spell where they got on the front foot and came at us. But Holding and Mustafi, Chambers and Tierney, they looked solid, didn't they? And I know, look, let's not make out the Forest or anything other than what they are. They're a championship side who haven't got strength and depth, but you can only play what's in front of you. And the back four looked sharp, didn't they?
They did. That was really important. Nottingham Forest are a very decent team. They've lost the first championship game of the season. They're unbeaten since then. They've got some decent players, a decent, exciting manager, and they're blowing place and they're doing stuff. And with the likes of Derby sitting on their arse now doing nothing, I think there's a chance you could see Forest in the Premier League next season. But if they do get the Premier League, they can't bring any of them players with them, because they did hardly anything all night, which is a bit of a shame. Like Josh put in our WhatsApp group, he said it was something along the lines, it would have been nice if Forest would have turned up. But I think they've got bigger things to worry about. They've got to go and spank Stoke at the weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's just really nice whether you see the way that people have put in the chat box here, the way Tierney is attacking down the left-hand side. And it was wonderful to see Callum Chambers attacking down the right-hand side. And like Sophie described that first goal, I mean, normally any other, even a right winger, with that cross, that when the ball from Woolock across to him, they would attract the ball and then run on a bit and then crossed it. Now Callum's having none of that nonsense. That's old school. He's going the new way. Volley it straight to the middle of the box.
Was that outrageous?
That is, like you were saying, if that had been Barcelona, that had been all over every single report everywhere. But for the rest of the team, seeing a holding play there, even Mustafi didn't muck up, which is brilliant. But I think we've now seen Chambers and Martinez start two games this season, and both times kept clean sheets, and they both played really well. And with the constant errors we're seeing from especially Socrates, and after watching him at the week, we're watching him live on Sunday, I've got stuff to say about him on the podcast tomorrow that's going to make Jason moist.
Go easy on the Greek. Not too easy, though. He has been getting away with it.
I'm sorry, Soph, okay?
I know, he's a shocker. He's like a really bad, you know, like when you go out clubbing or drinking and then you're looking for the dirty kebab at the end of the night? Socrates is the dirty kebab.
I was reading in the pro. Go on, Jace.
The thing about him is I do love his attitude. As a bloke, I really like him, okay? He's got a bit about him, you know what I mean? But
I think that's why he's been getting away with it, though, mate, because of the passion that he shows and this fight and this willingness to kind of put some muscle in. But in today's game, you need to back that up a little bit with some intelligence. And in the last few games, he's not shown too much intelligence, and he's been a bit of a Greek tragedy, to be quite honest with you. And it pains me to say that, because I love supporting the Greek players and Dinos, and I met them both here in LA, top shelf guys, awesome, love being at the club, feel honoured to play for Arsenal, but he needs to find his way back a little bit more, and it's just not happening for him right now.
No, it's a shame, but we'll carry on. So that you see some great feet from Martinelli, a good cross to from Nelson to Chambers. Mm-hmm. Chambers takes it on the volley, fluffs it, but the confidence in the team for them to try that, I really enjoyed that.
I think that's what I loved the most when I was watching it. I was trying to think to myself, guys, when was the last time I really enjoyed an Arsenal game like this? Probably the 4-2 against Tottenham. There was something so obviously pleasurable about that. The second half was just one of those legendary games. Moments, Torreira, Aubameyang, Lacazette, these new players having moments in this big game where you can become an instant hero and legend. And what I loved about this game was these fellas took their chance. And we've seen in the past Wenger play youth in this cup, and it's come with a bit of pressure. And I think that pressure came because Wenger was under the microscope so much. So the younger players coming in and playing in those games, I think, felt that stress on their shoulders. They felt that heat. Whereas here, I feel with this season, with Unai Emery, with the way things are going in the Premier League, with how we've performed in the last two Premier League games, I felt like they came into this to show, like, if you're looking for an alternative in the league, if you're looking for something a little bit different for players to step in, here we are. And I felt like they all took their chance tonight. I honestly don't have a bad word to say about any of the young players that came in. And I don't know if there's been a report on Smith Rowe yet, but I do hope he's okay after that clash, because it did look kind of nasty.
From what I heard, from what Josh said in the box, his nose has taken a proper whack.
Okay.
That meaning, you know, I felt for him because he seemed off the pace to me, but what I like about
Smith Rowe,
he's playing himself back into it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Never hides Saka, Nelson, Willock, all the same. They don't hide. They keep on showing for the ball, and they're willing to play themselves into the game. which I think is something, you know, to be admired with these guys. They're only young and they keep on doing it.
Yeah, and I think something Saka and Nelson will learn, Jason, sorry to butt in, but they hold on to the ball a little bit too long.
Yeah.
And I think they'll learn that as they go. Nelson, especially Saka, I think he's always looking for that goal. He's a sniffer, right? So he's on the hunt. But I think that once they perfect that, a little bit like Rashford. Rashford, one of his, I think the reason why he's regressed a little bit is he holds on to the ball too long. He tries to be the hero, tries to do too many things. So I hope Nelson and Saka, I think they'll learn because they're playing with quality players around them, whereas Rashford really doesn't have as much quality around him. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of go as the season progresses.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the Ozil point as well, I think, you know, you look at the players around him, they're all young. They're not kind of making the runs he's used to. It's a little bit off. It is. There's no connection there yet, but that will come as they go along. So, you know, this is a learning process for all these guys, and it's great to see. Dan, you know, carrying on with the flair part, you see a corner taken, I think it was by Nelson, and Mustafi have an effort on goal with a back heel. Would have been marvellous if it came off, but it didn't. But it showed our exuberance in their box. But then something happened which I absolutely loved, and I think this is the moment of the first half for me. Kieran Tierney defends a cross. He puts pressure on an opposing winger taking a cross. Wow, we haven't seen that this season, have we?
Normally they just look to Emery and go, what do I do, Gav? What do I do? What's going on? What kind of witchcraft is this? And whether he was making runs, whether he was doing 1-2s, whether he was shouting at his teammates where to put the ball, whether he had followed the left winger down the pitch, and then was doing a 1-2 into the box of it, his crosses were absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. He'd run in at pace and he crossed the ball every time to the middle of the goalkeeper's box or around that kind of area. None of them went over. None of them were hitting the other players. They were low, hard crosses straight into that part of the box, ready. If we'd have had someone like Lacazette there, he would have got 4 or 5 goals tonight. It was every single one he was doing was magnificent. And like you were saying, his defending was brilliant. And I'm all giddy like it's Christmas Eve watching him play. It's like having a new player. I can't remember the last time we had... the last time we had a player that doing that kind of stuff was Monreal in, what, 2 seasons ago? Or the end of 2 seasons ago, beginning of last season, Monreal was doing that before he got that injury. And was that the season where he's got 6 or 7 goals?
Yeah.
That's the last time we had a decent left back doing, and even that, his crossing seems to be as good as Tierney's was tonight. It's brilliant.
I mean, you look at Nacho. Nacho's more of an interplay guy, running at the box. But I mean, for Tierney, whoa, he was very, very impressive.
He's like a Scottish Robertson, isn't he? As one of our listeners once put in the chat box.
Hopefully, he'll turn out to be that. You know, though, there's certain players you see. I think we got a bit giddy with Ceballos, right, in the first game. Everyone got super excited and thought, the Messiah has arrived and he's regressed since then. And you don't want to get too excited, especially in a cup game against Nottingham Forest. You want to see him play. How is he going to play against Man United this coming weekend? Are we going to put him in that position after coming back from injury? But you've got to say, coming back from injury, he acted like he was just playing week in, week out. And that is, I think, the difference between seeing a player that maybe has that super quality versus a player coming in and maybe not having that same performance. And his crosses were on a dime. Like, that dude has the technical ability. It's very exciting to think about what he could be for us. Dare I say, could he be as good as someone like Ashley Cole? You know what I mean?
I got to be honest, I would take a Winterburn and Dixon either side. You know, that's what I'm really looking for, players who get forward and know to defend. And, Unai likes all his width from the fullbacks, but it was just really, it was a lovely debut for the guy, and chuffed for him and chuffed for the reception he had as well. It's just magic to see this. So I'm going to come to you for the goal and then I'm coming back to Danny on it.
Mm-hmm.
You see Willock to Chambers. Chambers puts a brilliant cross in. But my God, Martinelli. Phew, you know, he judges the header to perfection and bang.
In between two defenders as well, mind you. Yeah. And a lot of the times Arsenal players get criticised for not having muscle to get stuck into the game, to get at players, to get in between them. I love that Rob Holding made a couple of challenges tonight where he took a little of the player and he also took a little of the ball as well. I think sometimes you just need to see that. And Martinelli, his positioning was amazing. And I think that's why sometimes some of our players who are very high IQ football intelligence have bad games sometimes, because sometimes you just don't have that intelligence around you to read you the same way you're reading the game. And the way Willock passed, the way Chambers immediately got the ball into the box because he saw what Martinelli was doing with his run. And then to finish like that, I was absolutely sublime. You know, and like we said, if a Barcelona or a Manchester City or a Liverpool had scored a goal like that with their starting team, it would be on ESPN's top 10 plays of the day. The fact that it's, you know, young players who are trying to prove themselves at Arsenal Football Club and show and really give a hard time to some of the starters to say, hey, listen, we're knocking on the door. It was just, it was brilliant. But the control of Chambers, you know, I'm going to admit I've criticized him a lot in the recent times because I just haven't seen it. But sometimes going out on loan and having to play for Fulham and learning what it means to be in the Premier League but be relegated, I think has taught him a lot of lessons. And I thought he was super impressive. And that pass was really, I mean, as good as we've seen from any Arsenal player for any goal over any season. It was beautiful.
Well, this is the thing. We've in the past, we've had somebody on. I mentioned this the last couple of times he's played on the radio shows, after, on the live shows afterwards. Mm-hmm. We had a guest on a few years ago who was worked at St. George's Park. I can't mention their name because obviously they still work within the FA. But they turned around and said, Chambers is so highly rated at St. George's Park. Mm. His technical ability is right up there. You know, this is a guy who kept holding, him and Mawson kept holding up to the World Cup age group team. His technical ability is not to be questioned. He's got it in spades, you know. I think the thing is, you know, we haven't played him in the right position. And in our sense last season, you saw him pair up, him and Holding, especially the West Ham game. And, you know, they were developing quite nicely. And I think that's one for the future for us. Saliba is still very young. You know, mm-hmm. This is something we need to look at. You know, the moment that I looked at them and thought, you can see the way that they've developed the partnership over the years was when Andy Carroll came on. And you've seen Koscielny, Mertesacker, all these people be a bit scared of Carroll and his aerial prowess. Mm-hmm. And they just went for him. They attacked him each and every time the ball was in the air and they bullied him out of the game. And, you know, they've got it in spades. We just need to develop it properly. Dan, Martinelli, that goal, I mean, we'll come on to Martinelli a bit later, but his bravery, his, you know, he's ready there. He's taking the hits. He's getting kicked. He still puts himself in between those players to take advantage of really good football that we've played. What were your thoughts?
Hold on. Didn't you just say Martinelli would talk about him later?
And then No. We'll go into more depth on him later.
Oh, okay. I thought you've laid a trap there. You've lured me in with some cheesy biscuits and you're going to slap me when I start talking about Martinelli. We'll do that later.
If you see a pigeon today... Okay.
It's too dark out there. I've got the camera in my back garden now and I can see a bit of branch and a sink.
I will end you. I will nick your wheels.
Nay, don't start that nonsense. Only Carl has the power. Right, so which player do you want me to talk about in
his
brief?
His first goal.
So let me have a look at that. I tried to remember them all. Well, his first one where he jumped up between the two defenders.
Yes.
That was brilliant. Yeah. The two defenders that spent the whole time kicking him, pushing him and rolling him over and picking on him. And it was almost like a whack-a-mole. You had those two there and like a little whack-a-mole. He jumped up between them and went, thank you. And then carried on going. I think he does need to. He was annoying the players because he was constantly rolling around. It's debatable at times whether that is going to work in the English game, because I know it is not seen as cheating in South American football. It is seen as part of the game and something that they do to win stuff and get free.
He did get kicked though, didn't he? He got kicked.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely did. He got kicked in the arse. He got kneed in the back. He got pushed over. I think the one of them even nearly trod on him. I think so did they seem to be picking on the younger players. I know Willock got quite a bit of that as well. But Willock was just, I think Willock has learned. It looked like Willock has learned from the game against where he came on against Watford when he was being bullied by Decore and the other one, those like 6'8" WWF giants. And when he came, all they did was push him around. And quite a lot tonight, you saw Willock shoving them out of the way and keep them, like, using his arm to keep them out wide and a few other things like that. So, yeah, Martinelli was brilliant. And I just hope this doesn't put too much pressure on him because he's not going to be playing in the Premier League. He's not going to be starting in the Premier League anytime soon. Although we do need someone to make up the three now that Lacazette is going to be out for a while. Hopefully it'll just get a good run in this, maybe get some Europa League games, but he's definitely showed promise. And I was trying to think the last time a Brazilian scored for Arsenal, and I'm thinking without looking back at it, it's going to be someone like
Sanilton.
I was thinking Batista, and then I thought actually no, oh. I think Gabriel might have scored one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Forget about him.
A header. Yeah.
It's best if we do forget about him.
To be fair. Jesus, here we go.
Poor Gabriel.
Let's finish off the first half, then we'll talk about Emile Smith Rowe. It's just an unfortunate coming together. I thought he was brave going in for the header. The defender's just coming across to defend it. There's no thing. Just really unfortunate, wasn't it, Sophie?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of him, and he's been very unlucky with injuries a little bit. And I'm hoping and I'm praying and I touch wood that he's not going to kind of follow in the same route as Jack Wilshere. You know how some players are just a little bit unlucky. I think that he has a lot to offer. I think a little bit like Phil Foden of Manchester City. There's something to Smith Rowe where he has a little bit of a magic touch, can change a game on a whim. It wasn't his best game tonight. And then when the injury came, it was very unfortunate. But again, a player who, when fit and when ready to go, is a huge prospect for Arsenal. We have quite a few of them now. He's shown that in the opportunities that he had last season, had a really good loan spell as well. So I'm really rooting for him because I like the idea of these homegrown players too coming through. It didn't work out for us much last time. With regards to, you remember that frameable Kodak moment where Wenger had all of his
British core.
How many of them are left now? One? Chambers?
Yeah, Gibbs is at West Brom. Wilshere's at West Ham.
Wilshere, Ramsey's gone.
Chambers wasn't part of it, was he?
He wasn't part of that signing, was he? Yeah.
Wasn't Walcott on the Ox the other day?
The Ox. Yeah. So yeah, I'm rooting for him.
To be fair, we made a few quid off the English core. I mean, the one disappointment for me was Wilshere and the injuries. You know, they tore his career apart.
It's really sad when you think about it. I know people give him a hard time, but when you are that talented and you know you haven't reached your own limits, and then to hear other people tell you haven't, you know, that's hard enough in life dealing with, people that you care about or people that you know saying things about you. And to kind of be in the spotlight and the fact that he was definitely going to be England's captain, they were going to build a team around him as well, let alone Arsenal. And it just didn't happen. And I feel for him. It's sad. It is sad. He's made money. Yes, okay, fine. But at the end of the day, I'm sure he'd rather have had a different kind of football career, don't you?
I agree with you. I mean, you know, the money is of comfort to him. It's got to be. Okay. You know, he's earning very well at West Ham. But for the potential he had and the career that's developed, I find it hard to look at and just think, you know, what could have been. Mm-hmm. You look at the likes of Ox. I mean, Ox is at Liverpool now, you know, Champions League winners, etc. He's going to, let's see if he can develop his game. Ramsey's at Juventus. Poof, he doesn't give a monkey's. You know, Theo's earning a shed full of money at Everton. You know, magic. It's a shame that we couldn't gel a team around them all. But hopefully this batch now, you know, we can bring them through. Some will move on. But, you know, I'm full of admiration for the way, even if they're slightly off the pace, they keep on going. They keep on showing. We've seen enough players at the Arsenal down the years who've hidden. So that's the first half, guys. Right, chat box. Chat box, chat box, chat box. Hello. How are we all? Ah, dun, 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 dun. 35 likes. 35 likes.
Fucking hell, Janice.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a bad awful thing, so.
Is that's it? I totally turned every... Is it me? I've turned everyone off.
No.
Do I need to get Vinny? Do I need to bring Vinny out? Vinny Vieira? Do I need to bring him out?
No, not yet. Not yet. Right. Maybe that's going to be a treat at the end. That's it.
If you get a million likes, there's doggy time.
Now, this lot, okay, they're like the scum at Colchester. They're like the bottom-feeding scum from the potteries at Creepy Crawley.
Are you talking about the people in your chat room right now listening to your show?
I am.
Why? What are they doing? Are they anti?
They're not tapping that like button, Soph. They're not tapping that like button. Now, right about now, okay, their parents are tuning into the show thinking, I hope my Sam has pressed the like button. I hope my Marcus has pressed the like button. I hope my Thomas has pressed the like button. But they're going to say no. No, 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 no. Do I have to bring Aaron Ramsey out? Do I have to bring Aaron Ramsey out to just laugh at you all? Because this is not right. If you're not going to get up to 80 likes, toot sweet, okay, guys, there's going to be trouble. I am going to be writing to your employers from now on, not just your parents, because this is a sackable offence. Now, stop fucking about and tap that like button. Tappy, tappy, let's get going. Putting up with this shit. I had to watch the Watford game. I have had to watch the bloody Liverpool game. All for you lot. And you're not tapping the like button. I expect 75 toot sweet. Let's go. Come on. Let's go.
You're not even made your sandwiches yet, have you, Jay? It's all done the ironing. You got work in the morning.
I'm not making sandwiches tonight, mate. I'm too upset.
Oh, geez.
I'm too upset. Cole Jester cheered me up, but this chat box has just brought me down. It's just
maybe everyone's on the Raz celebrating, you know, the Colchester result as opposed to basking in the glory of Arsenal's youth. Maybe that's what's happened tonight.
I don't know. I think they're learning the lesson from Jimmy Savile. They don't want to go down the road to the Arsenal youth too much, you know. Yeah, it's one of those. Right on to the second half. Dan, the second half kicks off with a fabulous tackle from Rob Holding. Oh, he looked to be enjoying himself, didn't he?
He did. He at times he was like the bastard son of Tony Adams and Martin Keown. He was tackling, he was sliding, he was shouting them on. And when he got that armband, I don't know at what point he got the armband. I know it was when Ozil went off. Whenever you got that armband, you see what happens when you give him an armband to score as a goal. I'd give him 3 or 4 armbands, make him wear them on his legs. I don't know if I'm going with that.
He literally scored. He literally was handed the armband. The corner came in and then he scored. It was ridiculous. It happened within a finite time, no?
Yeah, no, it did. We'll come on to that in a second.
Tracy, we've got some dissent in the ranks.
Sorry.
Yeah. Alonso's put. I've put it up on the screen.
Alonso, it was when Ozil came off, this is correct, and then he literally handed him the armband and then boom, shakala.
Don't be nice to Alonso. Alonso used to be magnificent. Now, if his pizza is more important than the taps, okay, you know, me and Alonso are going to have words. I'm going to speak to your mum, Alonso, and she's not going to be happy with you. Now, get on that tapping button.
I shouted hello to his mum once, and she said hello back.
She did, to be fair. Yeah, she did.
Jason should be in politics. He could actually get people to vote for people they don't want to vote for. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, it's part of our relationship with the chat box. The chat box waits for me to go like that, and then they start tapping the like button. It's a love relationship.
That's perfect. Very clever.
So if you see Ozil win a free kick on the edge of the box, okay, and he plays it really sharply into Saka, and Saka can't quite get to it. And I just thought that was a nice bit of play from us. It was thinking on our feet, getting going. You know, what were your thoughts?
Do you think Ozil hit it too hard? At the time, I thought to myself, maybe he put, unlike Ozil, a little bit too much muscle into something. And it came quite quickly at Saka and he couldn't quite control it because he was very open. I felt like a little bit of a softer touch. But I love the ingenuity. I love that they, I don't know if that was a training ground thing or a spontaneous thing. Either way, I loved seeing us be a little bit more innovative when it comes to set pieces. You know, a lot of the time, sometimes we play short corners and I don't like that. But I loved it. And if that had resulted in a goal, again, it would have been one of those aha moments. But the fact that they tried it again was just a really good indication of the confidence that this team had. And as Ozil faded in the second half, I still think that he provided a level of confidence to the younger players. I don't think he played badly. And I don't think he was brilliant in the second half. But I do think he brought this level of calm and help them along the way. So I think we have to give him credit for that.
Absolutely. I thought he was the metronome. You know, I thought he kept it ticking over nicely. The creativity part of it, I loved. And, you know, you're looking at some youngsters on the pitch who need that that solid citizen around them. And I thought Ozil was that tonight. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was great to see. Now, Alonso Spencer has just redeemed himself with a donation. So, Alonso, you are forgiven, but only just. And he says 2.02 Hector is back. And it is nice to see, but we'll talk about him in a bit. Dan, we then see Reece Nelson going for the ball, eyes on the ball only, but he's flying in midair, feet high, and he goes into Robinson. Thankfully, Robinson doesn't make a big deal out of it. Got a yellow card. Was he slightly lucky there, or do you think it was just good refereeing?
The rules of the game say if you put your feet that high up, it's dangerous play. But if he had nearly his back to the bloke and the bloke's almost laying down on the floor, he's about knee height. So he didn't see him there. And I think he was maybe a bit too eager to get the ball. I don't like seeing players do that because you can overstretch yourself and you can do yourself some damage. So I think it's probably a fair thing. It was against the law. He did hit the other bloke in the face. Like you said, the bloke didn't make a big deal of it. The referee's a new referee. He's a young referee. I think he was a pretty decent referee tonight. That was two bookings for the entire game. He let the game play on as well. Quite a few times players had fallen over and he just ignored them and carried on playing the game, which is what I like to see. I don't like to see it constantly being stopped every time somebody falls over. He quite rightly stopped it when Death Row got injured and then another time outside of our box. I think there was one other time we stopped for a while as well. So, yeah, I think it was a fair result. Didn't like to see it, but I don't think Nelson cared. He got an assist, he got a goal and he hit the bar and he got a yellow card. He was only a red card away from getting a... What's it called when you get five things? I don't know.
Accumulative bookings?
He got everything apart from a red card, yeah. So on his whoscored.com, he's got every icon you can have apart from a red card.
That's brilliant.
To be fair to him, there's no malice in it. And Robinson didn't make a big deal out of it. And the referee handled it really well, I thought. So you then see Tierney have a collision in the box with Silva. And we didn't see it because it didn't show it on the TV, but Tierney goes for him. You know, there's a little bit of handbags, you know, there's a little bit of a coming together. Tierney's not just a decent footballer. He's got a bit of backbone. He's got a bit of spike to him, hasn't he?
And I love that. And I think that's what we've been lacking as a team. We always go back and look at the Vieira Petit days. Even Dennis was dirty with a splash of spicy beauty, right? That was what made him such a unique and special player. He could put it about a little bit too. And I think even Cesc Fabregas had a little bit of that in him. And he was someone that everyone gravitated to, obviously became a player that we kind of put our hat on and relied on for so many years. So to kind of see some of these players emerging, we've been so nice and we've been criticized. We've been the dartboard for being the super nice football team that doesn't get stuck in, doesn't get dirty. But then when we do, we're also criticized. So in a way, we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. But to see Tierney, a young player, come in, especially coming off an injury, taking a risk, going in like that, I loved it. And I think we need to see a little bit more of that. And these young players, I felt that with Holding as well. You see that with Tierney. Bellerin isn't afraid to get stuck in either. Nelson isn't afraid to get stuck in. Martinelli puts his body on the line in order to be able to, you know, move the ball forward or take a chance. So for us as a team, I think seeing this at that level is super, super encouraging.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sam Ruth smashes in the donation and he says, finally, a proper left back in Tierney. Couldn't agree more. I mean, I love Nacho, but this kid, he looks to have the X factor. Fingers crossed we can keep that going. Dan, let's go to the goals, is it? Because there were plenty of them. Ozil just goes off. He's replaced by Ceballos. In all fairness, Forest looks shattered at this point. They've been defending the majority of the game. They've acquitted themselves very well, but there's a gulf in class. But Nelson takes the corner. Holding loses his man. It's a free header, and he makes no mistake, does he?
Yeah, that was. I think we'd had a couple of chances earlier in the game where the people have had headers at goal and the goalkeeper had done well to save it. But you could see, like you were saying, they're all really tired. Playing in the Championship, although it is that one level down from the Premier League, it's not an easy league to play in. There's a lot of... you've got to be a fit player. You've got to be quite a hard player to get there and play successfully. And ironically, we all know Leeds is dirty Leeds. Leeds won the award for the best team. What they did against
sportsmanship against Philly.
Yeah, sportsmanship. I thought bloody hell, that's the last time Leeds. Some of their Leeds fans are turning in their graves. I would have thought of them winning the Fair Play Award. They play more games during the season. They're in. They play in the early stages of the League Cup. So we've only played 7 games this season. I think Forest must be on about 9 or 10, something like that. So already, even at this early stage, they've played a lot of games, and you could see that some of their players were really beginning to get tired. And at one point, they were the Graban was warming up to come on at 1-0, and then when we scored and Holding scored that goal, the commentary said, you and me watch the same commentary, and they said, oh, he's told Graban to sit down because they got a big game coming up on Friday where they're going to smash Stoke 8-0. So if we've helped in any way to let Graban have an extra bit of a rest so he can get a hat-trick against Stoke, then you can thank us later, Forrest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. you see Tierney come off then for Hector. Really brilliant ovation for Tierney coming off and a big one for Hector coming on. A good day at the office for Tierney and a good day at the office for the Arsenal where that's concerned.
What a moment that was. I actually did something. I only do it when we play in Spanish on Europa League, where I video some of the goals and put them on Twitter and stuff like that. But that moment where Tierney came off and Bellerin came on, that's the moment that every Arsenal fan has been waiting to see, with both of them actually playing on the pitch at the same time. But to see one come off and one go on and to see Holding play too, it's that time of year where we're kind of approaching the busy season, as we know. We go into December, we go into a time period where you need all of your best players fit. And, you know, a lot of people say sometimes players coming back from injury feels like you've signed a new player. With Bellerin, I think that it'll feel like we have that because it's been so long since he hasn't played. Same with Holding. And Tierney, I think, is one of the most exciting players that we bought over the summer transfer period. Because of what he has to offer, his versatility, his maturity. He's young, but he kind of came into the team fearless. And it was really great to see the Arsenal fans too, who did show up, engaged in that moment, give them both the credit that they deserve. And to think that we can have them, and I hope Bellerin, again, it's just Nottingham Forest, it's the Carabao Cup. Let's not get too carried away. Came on right away, made an assist. Sorry if I'm going off agenda here, but I think we need to just hold the mayo a little bit on him and Holding and Tierney until we see them perform in the Premier League over a number of games.
Yeah, I mean, with United away on the horizon next Monday.
Get in!
Let's only start them if they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Let's only start them if they're ready. Let's not take chances with them. It's a long season. One game's not going to kill us. 10 games could. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've got to manage their fitness.
Of all of them, Chambers is the one that has to start on Sunday for me. He's got to start.
I'd put him at right centre back every day of the week. I'd put him alongside Luis. Mm-hmm. They give you good footballing ability. They're a bit more mobile, they're a bit sharper, but we'll wait and see what Unai does, because Unai does what Unai wants. So wait and see. Dan, then the Willock goal comes along. Corner comes out to Hector. Hector takes a shot. It's blocked. Mustafi puts a great ball through to him. Hector's on the front foot, cross through to Willock, and bang, he makes no mistake. Oof, that was nice, wasn't it?
I know we're going on a bit. We've been going 45 minutes now, so I shall just describe my feelings for that in one photo frame of a scene. It is when Holding hugged Bellerin. I thought those two have spent the best part of the last 6 months with each other in rehab, and the joy on both of their faces, that was a beautiful thing to see, and a magnificent goal, magnificent assist. Everything about it is brilliant. It's great to see such team unity with this younger generation of players, and with the likes of Bellerin and Holding that have been out injured, and they've had to sit back and watch our team struggle. So I think Pappy at the moment is finding a way to get back to probably Germany or somewhere like that, because I can't see he's got much of a future left at Arsenal, which is a shame because we do like nutcases. But when you've got Holding and Chambers there, and you've got Luiz on 150 grand a week, someone's going to have to leave. And we've already seen he's not afraid to drop players. Mustafi's been dropped.
Mustafi played well today.
He did well, and he did well again in the last game too. Yeah. But fair play. We call it as we see it, right?
Well, this is the thing. You know, last season, if you look at the mistakes made by the centre-backs, I keep on saying it, you know, Socrates, just as many mistakes leading to goals, and not more than Mustafi, but Mustafi's are more glaring, and the witch hunt is on. I don't want a witch hunt on Socrates. I don't want it on Unai.
You don't want it on anybody.
No, you don't want it, okay? But you just call, you know, if they do well, you call it. If they do badly, you call it, and then you forget about it and move on. You see some nonsense going on social media. I saw one tweet from somebody last week, and it was, oh, all you Emery out people, blah, 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 we've come back with 10 men, blah, blah, blah. But Maitland-Niles is a prick.
Why?
And I just thought, mate, you're a fucking wank stain, fuck off.
But that comeback was despite Emery, not because of him.
Exactly. You know, you saw midfield galvanised, and you saw Guendouzi take a leading role in that. Mm-hmm. And you saw the mobility then on the park, which really got us on the front foot. But, you know, it's one of these things. We are going to need everybody for this campaign. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if you like them. You know, Socrates is going to have an important part to play in this campaign, whether it be, you know, Premier League, Europe, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. We need everybody fit, and we need everybody confident, and that's going to be the big thing. So at this point, Forrest are hanging on for dear life now. And then you see Ceballos a ball to Saka, Saka to Chambers, across to Nelson, and bang, it's four. We didn't even land, aren't we?
it's so weird to see us perform this way with, you know, these young players. And I think because we've struggled in some of our Premier League games so far this season, so when we do play this well, it kind of takes us back to, it was a little bit vintage Arsenal, but with youth, right? Yeah. So for us to have this confidence, but for me, this was about a confident win, but also for players to perform given their moment and given their chance. And that's what the Carabao Cup is all about. It's about taking your chances when they're given to you and milking the moment. And I feel like every single player did that. And did we have five different goal scorers tonight?
Four.
Right. Which in a 5-0 result is very encouraging, because everybody's looking for the ball. And I think that's one. I felt like tonight there were hunter-gatherers mixed with a beautiful symphony. You know, they hunted the ball down. They won the ball. They won every second ball. They weren't afraid to get on the ball, to do something with it. And they played with this confidence. And then when they had the ball, the architecture of what happened afterwards was stunning for every goal and in between. So it could have been 7 or 8-0, to be honest with you, tonight, if we had taken more chances.
27 shots we had.
How many on target?
I just clicked on that button. On target, 8.
That's not a bad ratio, but still, the fact that we're having a go, that these players aren't afraid to give it a shot, I think that says a lot.
91% pass success rate.
Our mobility today across the park brilliant. Was very impressive. Mm-hmm. I've got to be fair. I really enjoyed the game. Okay, it's only Forest, okay? Okay, it's only the Carabao Cup. But you can only play what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have failed in these games before. And these guys went out. They did the job. They did it professionally. They enjoyed themselves. And I think, you know, as high pressure as the Premier League is, as Europe is, as, you know, you only have social media coming down on players and players getting some of the most disgusting messages ever, you know, the abuse and the pressure on them. You know, you've had Mustafi have to turn comments off on his Instagram and stuff like that because there are fuckwits out there who think they have the right to, you know, smash people on social media for that sort of thing, you know, for they play football. But they enjoyed themselves tonight and it looked so good to see. You know, these guys, they don't go out on the pitch to ruin your day. If they make a mistake, it's genuine. And it's just, tonight was enjoyable, you know. It was just really good to watch. So back to you for the last goal. Martinelli, he picks the ball up just outside the centre circle. He drives forward with it and he unleashes a screamer. What a way to cap off a brilliant performance.
He had the best... He was man of the match, right? I mean, he absolutely smashed it. To have, again, to have that... When you're 4-0 up, it's easy to take that shot, right? But I also think that some of these players, even at 1-1, would take that shot because they are playing with that amount of confidence. What I love about them is the belief in themselves. And I think that's where we faltered a little bit with the senior team. Some players have lost belief in themselves, which is why we're seeing maybe more mistakes. Xhaka's lost belief in himself. Mustafi's lost belief in himself. I actually think Kolasinac has been playing poorly over the last few games and it looks like a shadow of the player since a life-threatening experience. And you cannot blame him for that. Ozil's been dropped for reasons. There's something more to it with him and Emery. We know he has the talent. We know that he can be absolutely dazzling. So for Martinelli to come in, I love that about Reece Nelson too. They're unafraid to take these chances. And I think right now we have nothing to lose as a football club. Everyone thinks we're rubbish. Everyone's still lauding Tottenham, even though they lost to Leicester because Harry Kane fell and took a shot off the ground. And the headline was Harry Kane's England. It's almost like we are now, until we do something significant again in the Premier League or we get back into Champions League football, that is how we will be perceived. And to see these players fighting back the way they are and making a mark, I think is really super impressive. And for me this season, it will be not because of the players for once. It will be because of Emery if we fail, because he has the players and he has the talent. How he sets them up for the rest of the season, lads, is going to be very telling, because there's no doubt after what a great last few days. Tottenham lose, Chelsea lose, Man United lose in the league. Tottenham lose in the Carabao Cup tonight. We win. Now's the time to go into this Man United game with confidence and belief, pick the right team and get the right result.
I agree. I've said this is last season. I'd get rid of Emery. Okay, I would. But my mind is open for him to change it. You know, I'd like to see him succeed. I'd like to see him do well. I'd like to see him get this team playing attractive football, attacking football, and, you know, a bit of control. You know, the same old problems have been recurring with us. But... you know, if he can stem the tide, change the setup and get it right, it will be magnificent and it will be testament to him. But he's got to do it. You know, no more this nonsense, his master plan and everything. We're not seeing it on the pitch. And, you know, we follow up a really good performance last week from Frankowitz with a, you know, bang average performance against Villa, let's be honest. We've been lucky to get out of Dodge there. But tonight...
Oh, we did.
Yeah. But tonight's a breath of fresh air. Credit to them all. Onwards and upwards. Right, guys. Martinelli. Dan. This kid took some punishment. And he did not hide at all, did he? He stood up, he challenged for every ball, he went back in after he's been kicked. He's got to be in contention to be at least on the bench on Monday.
Yeah, because as we all know, a bit of confidence does you wonders, a few goals does you wonders, and you've got that young attitude of nothing can harm me and I can do anything I want to. And until that is beaten out of him by Emery... until he goes full Giroud. Now I'm behind Emery all the season. I don't want him to get sacked at all until end of the season. I'd like to see a new manager come in and then he's done his job. But this is about Matt Martinelli. It's brilliant, and we've got so many young players now that are full of energy, full of running, and you don't know what they're going to do. So that's the problem with so many young players these days. You don't know if they're going to go left or right. They can charge right through you. Whether like Martinelli today, he did loads of back heels. Little tricks and flips that you would do when you've got no one telling you what to do all the time. And I think he will be on the bench because we do need someone to either play as Alba or maybe go for a three up front. I don't think he'll be ready for a three up front. I think it's probably going to be, as we're playing away, be two up front, and then he may get the last 10, 15 minutes if we need a goal. But it's just brilliant to see. He seems to have already jumped ahead of John Jules and Balogun. They're all about 18 years old. Those two are banging in goals in the under 23s, and Martinelli isn't. He's with the first team for the rest of the season now. So he seems to have come in and jumped straight into the first team, which is really, really good. And a lot of time last season, we all saw Nketiah play and we thought he's really good, but he needs a loan. At no point have I seen Martinelli and thought he needs a loan. I think he's ready to do. I mean, Man City have had a few players like that over the years, like Kelechi Iheanacho. No, that's our one, wasn't it? It was the one they sold to Man City. No, Man City sold to Leicester. Iheanacho.
Iheanacho, yeah.
Another really, really good young player. So I think he could be in that kind of form, hopefully.
Yeah, John Bernstein makes a good point. He's been on the bench most of the season, sorry. But I need to come on from the bench. That's what I was meant to say. I do apologise. So, your opinion on Martinelli, because... I just find this kid really exciting.
Really exciting. Superb talent. Great kid. Met him here in LA. Very personable. I love his demeanor. I look at players not only for what they provide on the pitch, but how they handle themselves with the media, around big crowds. The USA tour was insane. The amount of fans who turned out was crazy. I think Aubameyang was even blown away. He'd never seen anything like it. Realised the enormity, I think, of Arsenal Football Club when he came here. And Martinelli had scored a great goal against Colorado Rapids. He had a really good preseason. And I think when you spend 10 and a little bit million dollars on a player like that, or was it pounds, you know, Edu knows. And we've seen that transition now with regards to the type of talent that we're recruiting, the risks that we're willing to take with them, but at the same time, the fact that we're able to give them a chance. You can't just buy these players and sit them on the bench. So for me, he's definitely someone that's going to get his chances for all the reasons you guys just said as well. I think he's a really, really, really huge talent.
Yeah, and I mean, his bravery today and his desire... Mm-hmm. You know, it's what you want to see. Dan, Callum Chambers. I mean, Martinelli's Sophie's man of the match. For me, it's Chambers. I thought he was just a driving force in the team. But, you know, you're splitting hairs over the two, to be honest with you, because two magnificent performances. But Chambers looks like he's full of confidence and he's ready to take on the world.
Certainly does. I'd give them three straws and tell them to share the bottle with Willock as well, because they were was it Willock or Nelson? Which one of them got the Nelson? Yeah, Nelson got a 9.6 man of the match according to who scored. Martinelli 9.5, Chambers 9.3, Willock 8.6. Matt, just give it to him with 11 glasses and say just go and share it with everybody. Everybody was magnificent.
Yeah, I bloody enjoyed tonight, and it's been a long time since I can say I've enjoyed watching the Arsenal. You know, it was last season. It was just, you know, I thought the Newcastle game were very good, but...
And it's tonight, not just because we beat a Championship 5 team 5-0. It's the cohesiveness the team has shown. Yeah. Everybody had a good game, which you're probably going to if you play against that Championship side. But plenty of teams will go and play Championship sides this season. They won't win 5-0 and they won't put on the kind of display that we did. And every player to a man was brilliant.
Absolutely. Right, let's get in some questions then, guys. It's going to be a shorter show tonight because we're late. John Bernstein asks, so this one's for you. Do we start Saka or Martinelli on the left at United, or do we change the shape to bring in Ozil?
I wouldn't play Ozil. I would give Saka another shot, for sure. I thought maybe starting him in the Europa League was too soon for him, but he proved himself once again that he's up for the task, even when he came on today. Again, a couple of errant touches, maybe a little greediness in certain spots. But boy, does he get himself into fantastic positions. He's a smart footballer, and that's what I really love about him. Not only does he have the technical ability, but he knows how to play the game. And I think for me, that's one of the most exciting things about him. So I would give him a shot. He's got to be part of the day, period, whether he's on the bench or whether he starts. But why not give him a start? I would take an element of surprise to Old Trafford. That's what I would do. I wouldn't go so obvious. We've done it so many times. And, you know, our away form really needs to pick up, especially against the top six teams. And if we're going to try something, why not try it now against this Manchester United team? Beware the wounded animal, of course, but I think we have a good shot to beat them this weekend. We should take it.
I think they're there for the taking. The problem is I think we are as well. You know, that's my worry. I'm not sure there's a massive amount of difference between our situations at the moment, but we'll have to wait and see. Dan, your thoughts on that? Saka, Martinelli, would you go for?
I would go with Saka because some of the stuff he showed today, number 77, brilliant. And the foot skills that he has got and his ability to run and every other thing about him is absolutely brilliant. It's mesmerising at times. And for him to come on at the point where he did and still get a really high Opta rate and still be really involved, the last thing, I mean, who plays at right back for Man United? I know Young.
Yeah.
I know Ashley Young's been suffering there because they're
him.
Isn't Bissaka injured? Wan-Bissaka injured. So if you're Ashley Young, who's 106, and you've got number 77, I've forgotten his name already, Sacco, if you've got him running at you, he's just going to hand him his P45 and retire.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I'd flip a coin between the pair of them, but I wouldn't mind seeing Martinelli up front. I wouldn't mind seeing us go 4-4-2 on this occasion, a little bit tighter, but we'll wait and see. Well, to the pair of you first, Sophie. Do we know, Rudy Rastlos asks, do we know anything about the Maitland-Niles injury?
Well, firstly, what a silly challenge to put yourself in that situation. It wasn't the best of challenges, but also maybe the yellow card, if you look back on it, was a little unfair because it looked like it was a bit of 6-1, half a dozen of the other. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know what I haven't read up on it today. I don't know how long he's going to be out. Do you know, Danny? I'm not. I don't think it's anything super serious, but I'm going to be really frank here. I think he's one of the most overrated Arsenal players in the last few years. And I feel for Ashley Maitland-Niles because he has been used as the jack of all trades and has become the master of none. He's been played out of his natural position for two seasons now. You could say that is exceptionally unfair for a young player who showed a lot of hope and promise. But for me, this season, he's been really woeful. I saw it from the minute that he was out here in the US on the preseason tour. He got skinned by everybody he played against. He was very poor. He was getting skinned by Newcastle players. I mean, he's not been great. And I don't want to see a player injured, and that's not what I'm saying here, but sometimes injuries bring on opportunities for other players. And I do think it's time that we see those opportunities. And unfortunately for him, once Bellerin comes back, where is he going to play in this team? Where does he belong in this team?
I think he's a midfielder. I've got to be honest, I think you're a bit harsh on him because if you look at the way our midfield, you just look at Sunday's game. You know, Guendouzi, Ceballos, Xhaka, letting runners through on the back four. At some point, the dam is going to break, you know, whether it's Socrates, Luis, AMN, or Kolasinac. They can't keep those concentration levels going because they don't know where the runners are coming from because the midfield's not screening them at all. And, you know, that is an Emery issue as well as a midfield issue for all we talk up midfield performances, we have to look at them honestly and say, as a defensive unit, as a team, we're crap. We're crap. And that starts from the top and the midfield especially. You know, I mean...
But where does he fit into this team if everyone's fit?
I think he's a midfielder. I think they've got to give him a shot as a midfielder. If not, they're going to sell him on. You know, I've got to be honest with you. I loved watching him play for England at age grade football. He come on, he's so laid back, which is frustrating at times. He's got such confidence in his ability. On the ball, his technical ability is as good as any of the other midfielders. Make no bones about it. He's a great player. But the right-back thing, as John said on the live show on the weekend, he's not a right-back. He never played right-back at age-grade football. And now we're expecting him in the best league in the world to survive. Well, I think he's done a good job there. But, you know, there's a difference between playing left-back and being a left-back. And I think that's a big thing, isn't it? But I see your perspective on it.
I agree. I think we've, as a club, in some ways, Danny and Jason, I feel like we've set him up to fail.
Yeah.
We have, because of our own inability to cover positions that need covering. Yeah, you know, we've been inept at it, and it started under the Wenger, years. And I feel for Ashley Maitland-Niles. I do. But now I feel like if he's behind the curve in terms of garnering a position in midfield. It feels like it's the ship sailed and he's missed out on that opportunity.
I think we'd be remiss as a club if we did that to him, because again, he's another youth academy player. You know, I think he deserves his shot. You know, I really do. But if we're going to allow talented players to go, he'll move on somewhere else and he will do well. You know, he will do well. I'm positive of that. It may not be at the highest level. It doesn't always work that way, but I think he's a good quality footballer. We're going to have to wait and see, aren't we? It's going to be really interesting. Dan.
Did you see the head stuffed a couple of pounds down your ginger wife fronts?
I was just wondering what happened there.
Yes, you did.
Oh, Ed Loud. The magnificent Ed Loud. And he says, he smashed in the donation and he says, great show tonight. Thank you. Everybody in this chat box, follow Ed Loud. Ed Loud is our hero from last year's walk and talk from Selhurst Park to the Emirates. When we did the mental health specials, Paul Price came on and when we were doing the follow-up, he was telling us before the show about this guy who rocks up with his granddad in a wheelchair. And he said, I wasn't sure if he was part of the walk or not. And Ed pushes his granddad 12 miles from Selhurst Park to the Emirates. Some of the pictures, some of the videos from it are just magnificent. And recently, I can't remember the name of the channel, bear with me a second. Ed's done a video talking about his experiences with Walk and Talk and how, you know, it's really been a positive influence for him as a carer, who's somebody who cares for his granddad, who wasn't getting out much. And it's a brilliant video, and it's something which I really enjoyed watching because it's honest, it's heartfelt, it's just something which can inspire people. And can I find the channel? Ed, can you put the name of the channel in this box? I do apologise.
Mika has sent us a couple of dollars as well.
Mika for life.
Yes.
Oh, Mika for life. I like Chris's new look. If Chris had good hair like Sophie again, he'd be rocking it.
Chris had a neat very good. Oh, yeah. And put in there that she said that Sophie said Ashley. I think Sophie knows she said Ashley.
Did I say Ainsley?
You said Ashley.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah. Don't worry, he's Ashley on this show anyway.
I thought you were doing
that. I'm mad about that whole situation.
I always say Ashley.
So usually I say AMN. I should have just done that.
Mm-hmm. Always go the easy route. But yeah, if you follow Ed Loud, guys, he's at Ed Louder on at Ed_Louder on Twitter. You'll see the video he did. It's inspiring. It's inspiring. And we will be doing another mental health special for the Walk and Talk. That's before the season's Palace game. These guys are so impressive. It's just, it's honestly, Soph, it's been absolutely inspiring to be part of and to play a little part of. And we're so lucky that we've been able to get involved in this. So, you know, love again, I'm going to actually retweet the video now.
We'll do it too. Like, let us know and I'll get Kevin and Amanda and the whole gang to share it.
I'll just retweet it from my account. Dan, if you can retweet it from the pod account, that would be much appreciated.
Yes,
you're a good man, Danny, the GFP. You're a good man.
If you had biscuits, you'd see how bad I am.
Well, I could eat a biscuit right now.
I didn't know when custard cream's given half a chance.
Tani, to you first, then I want you, Sophie's view as well on this one. John Bernstein asks, how conservative is Unai going to be in Manchester? And how much is it going to drive you crazy?
No idea. I've given up trying to figure him out.
Okay, Soph?
Okay, so I always hope for the best, but hope is never a plan, right? We can all live in hope, but sometimes it just doesn't deliver. Now, if we go on history, he's going to be very conservative. He's going to compromise an attacking player. The question is, who is he going to compromise? I'd like to think that at this point, we're in the top four. We're going to play a very wounded Manchester United team. Do they get Pogba back or Martial's out, Rashford's out, Pogba's out? Are they all still out?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so I think that he will play conservative in the first half and take risks in the second, and we'll see Unai season one, where he makes changes a lot sooner. Why is it he's not doing that as much this season? He's waiting and waiting, like bringing Lacazette on 10 minutes against, who was it, Liverpool? No, Chelsea. Yeah.
I've just read here that Pogba might get a few minutes in the League Cup, and then he should be ready for the Arsenal game.
Of course he's going to be ready for the Arsenal game. Yeah, so I think he'll play conservative in the first half and then he'll take more risks in the second. I think that first goal is really important in this match.
Yeah.
We have to show them, you know, that we're there to take care of business. This is a really great game for us to take 3 points and continue that momentum and keep the pressure on a little bit for that third spot.
I think it's massive. I think it's a massive, massive game for us.
I'm losing it already. Come on.
It's going to be enjoyable. Dano, John Bernstein again. John Bernstein's smashing the questions in today. Oh, no, Pete Coulson, sorry. Pete Coulson with this one. I know we have all been here before, but do we have any cause to be optimistic going into Monday's game with United, apparently with them in crisis as well?
Yes, because they're shit and they're bottlers. And they have got a manager who wouldn't know his arse from his elbow. We saw what he did with your beloved Cardiff, got them relegated and then got sacked.
Whoa. Don't fucking put that stain on me.
I know, he's a Swansea fan. Yes. So we've seen what he did there and he's rubbish. And I've got no idea when a team needs goals why you let Fraud Kaku and Sanchez go. Two of the players that have shown over the years just how consistently they score goals. And Man United, where are they at the moment? They are eighth. They've played two, they've won two, drawn two, lost two, scored eight, conceded six. That's nothing.
Yeah, they're bad.
The record goes win, draw, loss, draw, win, loss. They've got no form. They've got no record. They're not even that brilliant at home. Their home games, they've won two of them and lost one of them. And only scored six goals in three home games. And when you've got a world-class player like Pogba in your team, you should just say to Pogba, whatever you want to do, we're going to build the team around you. But he won't, will he? He'll have him playing defensively. They're just a joke. And that news that they came out with today, that they're going to turn Man United back into a trophy-winning team. No, you're not.
Yeah, what a wanky statement that was.
Mm.
To be fair, guys, okay, Daddy's just set this up for humping on Monday.
No, I hate the fact that the game's on Monday. I mean, why the F isn't this on Sunday? I have no idea. And then also, if Crystal Palace can beat this team at Old Trafford, come on, Arsenal, please. Like, please, great Arsenal, show up.
Yeah, it would be fantastic. I think we're going to need Aubameyang fresh. We're going to need mobility in that midfield. That's going to be, could be a key for us. Sophie. John Bernstein asks, assuming Holding and Chambers CB pair it, Holding Chambers, sorry, I've got to reread this, I do apologise. Assuming we play Holding and Chambers as CB pairing, do we start Luis in centre as a DM, or will Unai make the mistake of sticking with Xhaka?
Whoa. Well, he's played there for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Right? And he's done
for Brazil as well.
And he's played there for Brazil. And let's be honest, one of the attributes that everyone raves about with David Luiz is his distribution, which we've yet to really, we've seen it in spurts. We haven't seen what everyone's been raving about in terms of those great games he has for Chelsea and Brazil. Would you go down that route, or would you, against Manchester United, start Willock, Guendouzi, Torreira together in that midfield? Would you go down that route? As opposed to, I cannot see Emery dropping Socrates and David Luiz in this match, both of them. I can see him dropping one, but I can also see him being too afraid to drop either one of them, to be honest with you. It wouldn't surprise me if he starts with, is Bellerin ready to start a game against Manchester United? And if Ashley Maitland-Niles is injured, does he start Mustafi there? Does he start Chambers at right back? Then does he go David Luiz, Socrates, Kolasinac? If anyone's going to start, it will be Holding for Socrates, I think. David Luiz stays at the back, and then it's all about what midfield he's going to choose. If we want to win this game, he's got to drop Xhaka. If he wants to be conservative, he's going to start Xhaka, and he sees something in him that a lot of us don't. And I know I've tried really hard to defend Xhaka for a long time, but you can't defend the indefensible sometimes. And I think he's at that point.
I don't know. So I think he's part of the witch hunt again. I got to be honest with you. I look at Xhaka, and what I don't see ahead of him is good movement. And
he's too slow.
Yeah, the whole team. There's no, you know, that's fluid. We saw fluid movement today from players off the ball. We don't see that often enough. And you can have the best passer of the ball in the world distributing the ball, but if people are just going to play statues and let stand by their markers, it's pointless. And he's got the setup wrong for me, you know?
And that second half against Villa changed, didn't it, when he took off Xhaka and Ceballos and bought on Willock and Torreira?
I mean, you had that good movement.
Yeah.
You had that good movement, and they all sprung into action at once. I don't know what he's going to do. I think he is, as you say, he is slightly too conservative to take a chance on this. I'm not sure if it's too soon to bring Holding. Well, there's a question here from Cayman1867, so let's get into it. Does Emery start Tierney versus United, or is it too soon? And that can go for Holding and Hector. So for you first, then on to Danny.
In a nutshell, I think Tierney showed tonight, I'd start him. Of all the players, he and Holding seem the most ready to be thrown into the wild. And Kolasinac has been really poor. So why not start Tierney? You can always sub him. I would go down that route. Give him the big game. Throw him into the fire. See what he does. He's playing for Arsenal Football Club. He's expected to play in these games. Why not start now?
Point
done. Sure, I'll say that. See this? That there is podcast history. That is Mike and Andy. Hold on, if I do it on here a bit bigger, that is Mike and Andy doing their podcast, streaming our podcast in their chat in the live window.
Those boys are brilliant. Love them.
That is the kind of dedication we get from those scumbags. So yeah, people go and subscribe to the Gooners podcast, Mike and Andy.
Look at them, Dan, put the camera on me. Put the camera on me, Dan. Put the camera on me. Bloody Yanks. What can you say about them? They're brilliant.
Absolutely. Oh, brilliant. So I thought I only know that because Thunder was in there. I was in there saying I was going to tell everyone to go and watch the show after this, and Thunder was in there, and he said, look what they've done. So there you go.
Very cool. They're doing some great things for charity as well, you guys. Yeah. Brilliant. With cancer research and stuff.
$15,000.
Yep. Brilliant.
We were giving ourselves all high fives, raising 300 quid for Chris's shitty team, and look what they've gone and done.
To be fair, he's gone balls out in that, hasn't
he? Yeah.
Superb, superb. You know, to be fair to those guys, I love listening to their show.
That's two they've done in a week, though. I don't know what they're playing at, and neither Andy has been on cam, so I don't know what's going on. I think
Andy's got a bad back.
I know he had an operation. Yes. So getting back to the question, I agree with Sophie. Start Tyranny. He looked brilliant tonight, and he can come off if we need to, and start to play Chambers at right back because he is solid and he can cover in. I love the way they can all rotate to each other's positions and all move across. At no point tonight did I think, oh God, when's it going to happen? Oh no, don't give the ball to him. I did once with Mustafi, and then I went, no, it'd be all right, rather than doing it the entire time when you've got Papi and Luis playing.
Well, it's going to be interesting, guys. It's going to be interesting. That's it for tonight. Sophie, please tell our chat box, and by the way, don't be too nice to them, because I've still only got 62 likes. That's not the 70 I wanted.
As long as they're being nice to me, if they're being nice to me.
Media for Life has just smashed in another donation, and he says, I was just kidding. Of course, Sophie is gorgeous. So I think you've won the chat box tonight, to be fair.
Fine. Then I will also match Mika for Life's donation. How about that?
Oh, don't. You've given us your company, and that is all we need. Thank you ever so much.
But thank you for having me. I always love talking to you guys. I love your podcast. It's so organic and it's got no bells and whistles, but just good old fashioned football talk and personalities. And I love that. There's a lot of chaos out there right now, a lot of noise, but there's just some podcasts that have a little bit of oomph more than others. And yours is one. So I appreciate being back. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're too kind. So tell the guys where they can listen to you, because obviously you yourself, Amanda, and you have Kevin Campbell on the high, you scored a lot. Talk to them. Tell them about it.
You can find us at Highbury Squad on Twitter, and there you'll find all of our links on iTunes and YouTube. And then I'm at Soccer Diva on Twitter as well. And you'll find Kevin and Amanda there too. And if you are willing to give our show a listen, we'd really appreciate it. So thank you so much.
Thank you ever so much for coming on tonight. It's been lovely having you back on again. It's a lovely strong news. We need to get you back on the podcast, not normal podcast again, very quickly, because it's just good to hear different perspectives all the time, and it gets you thinking, and that's something fantastic. Sam Ruth has just smashed in with another donation, and he says,
"We're on a roll now. Come on."
To be fair, they know the rules. And he says, "Farewell gift: 3 points at Old Manewer Trafford." It would be nice. Joshua Page says, love your pod, Sophie. It's brilliant.
Thanks, Josh.
A lot of love in the chat box, to be fair.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. We love our club at the end of the day, and we all just want what's best for our club. And it's nice when podcasters kind of talk to each other. We should do a round table every year with all of us.
You don't want us on that. Ed Loud says Sophie has to come back on. Kman1867 says ABW MVP equals Sophie. Joshua Page, woman of the podcast, Sophie. I thought he was going to go for Danny there. I really do. The magnificent Stefan Selby says, shout out to Holick. Get well soon, mate. He'd been suffering recently, and he wasn't great on Sunday at the Villa game. So, Davey Faber, I love you, Dave. You are a fucking rock star, and this is not going to be your last game. We're going to get you back up there if I've got to carry you, okay? And that means I've got to bump into bloody Danny soon, doesn't it?
I offered to weld on an armchair to the back of my electric chair and take him around the stadium. He was having none of it.
Danny, you smell. He's not having it.
I smell of Kouros. It's a thing to behold. Yeah.
So a big shout out to the chat box tonight. You're on 65 likes, people.
But it's only been about 115 maximum here. That's 50%.
Dan?
Sorry, fuck them.
Yeah, don't give them excuses, okay? They'll get used to it if you're nice to them, and that's not acceptable. They know the rules. Stop fucking about and start tappy-tappying. to be fair, the chat box is always brilliant. I love watching it. It's the reason we do this, because you guys are just brilliant. And, you know, even after shitty games, you know, you come in here and it's a cathartic experience and you make it all worthwhile. To those of you listening on any other platforms, thank you for your support. Because, again, you know, we're just a bunch of numpties talking bollocks to ourselves if you're not there. If you do want to be part of the chat box, subscribe to the YouTube channel, click on the bell icon, and you will be notified whenever we go live. A massive thank you to J-Rob, who's always donating. Alonso Spencer, he's magnificent again now. The magnificent Alonso Spencer. Sam Ruth, double bubbling it. Oh, he's gone mad. He's just spending like there's no tomorrow. The magic Ed Loud. Ed Loud, you are my hero. You are my hero. That's the way it is. And Mika for Life, who also double bubbled it. What can I say? These boys, they're just chucking it about like...
Try and say something clean.
Yeah, no, I was going down somewhere. I went, no, you get a mental image or something, you think that's not good.
Was it Critting the Thong? That's what I always get.
It was almost suddenly in a strip bar, in a thong. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. So right. I'm gonna pull back from that. Dan, thank you to you, but you have to be here.
So do you. Well done.
I know.
Dan's ambiance is like on another level right there. I just want to put my snuggle up and...
Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him.
Zero a human could ever want as well.
Sophie. We had Rob Beckett on the podcast, okay? And Rob was nice to Danny. And Danny sent him a picture of himself in the bath.
Did that make it to Twitter by any chance, or was it Instagram? Did. There was, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's been retweeted on numerous occasions, you know.
And I went to see him the next night in Cambridge doing his stand-up, and he was fantastic, and he didn't mention it, so oddly, don't know why.
I think he mentioned his therapist, you know. I think it's his therapist who got the mention. And last, but no means least, Sophie Nicolaou, thank you very much for coming on back on. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. You rock.
Brilliant.
It's been really enjoyable. You'll have to come back on the podcast soon as well. That's done. A bit more, less about the game and more about how we feel about everything. And it's just more enjoyable, to be honest with you, because the chat box, I've still only got 65 likes.
Shameful.
Now I'm going to get on them. You bastards, put your hands in your pockets, God damn it. What are you thinking?
Yeah, the likes we want. It's the likes, people. Get it up. That's it for tonight, guys. It's been a great night of football. It's been enjoyable. We've seen the kids doing well. Ooh la la. On to United. Dan, who's on the podcast this week?
Me, Chris and John.
Oh, Jesus wept.
I know.
The Pirates back. Do you realise Plymouth Athletic played on the weekend? They humped the Pirates 4-0.
Offside, all of it.
Oh, no. They had 5 goals disallowed. All good. No, VAR would have sorted it all out. So look forward to that, guys. I've no idea. I haven't done the lineup for the United game yet, but we'll be live after the United game. We will see you all then. Thank you ever so much. Take care of yourselves. Keep it Arsenal. Dan, switch this shit off.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.